Welcome to Radically Transparent, the number one podcast for the modern day marketer, presented by Octopost, the only social media and employee advocacy solution architected for B2B. Each episode shines a light on the inner workings of B2B leadership, including what keeps successful CEOs, CMOs, and VPs up at night professionally. The conversations are real, raw, and authentic, all while revealing the unfiltered, not-so-known truths of today's most interesting marketers. Introducing your host, Jennifer Gutman.
Hello, world. My next guest was recently named in the top 100 product marketing influencers in 2023 by Product Marketing Alliance, and is certainly a force to be reckoned with when it comes to developing innovative product strategies, making meaningful differences to customers, and driving business decisions based on data that always contribute to a company's bottom line. Here to talk about the data dilemma and many other things when it comes to marketing is Patrick Barbera, Director of Product Marketing at IntelliCare. Patrick, are you ready to get radically transparent with me?
Yes, I am, Jen. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. And especially, you know, I have a soft spot for product marketers because I personally think product marketers have possibly one of the hardest jobs in any organization. But I'm not going to share, you know, too much. I want to pass the mic over your way. And I want to kick off with asking, you know, what's keeping you up at night these days professionally?
You know, you mentioned, you know, product marketing being a challenging job and you know, just after experiencing this firsthand, I agree because, you know, you're connected to so many things across the business and you're responsible for so many elements that are really business critical. You know, what really keeps me up to at night is the being able to measure activity that you're doing because, you know, you can so quickly get distracted from company KPIs and the things that you really want to be focused on and get dragged away from that. But you want to be able to focus on measurable outcomes so that the activity and what you're investing in you know, results in something that's going to make value for the business. So that's sort of the thing, you know, that balance between tracking to those KPIs and also responding to different things that come up day to day is always a challenge.
Absolutely. I always remember I was speaking once to a CMO who had shared, you know, the balance between kind of activity, outcome, right? And he had made this comparison between a jar and the big rocks with like the sand and like what are the little pebbles and how do you move the needle? But you have this jar filled with the big rocks and the small rocks, right? So as we're saying that, I always picture that jar. But I think you're spot on. And, you know, something I want to dive into a little bit more, right? Out of all the research that I've done about your background, you know, reading a little bit about you on LinkedIn, right? You've been coined a big system thinker. And I want to dive into that a little bit more because it's interesting to me to learn, right? What is, first of all, like big system thinker? We're going to get into that. But how Sure. are you empowering your team, right, to make a big impact, or maybe I should say the right impact, as a product marketing leader with literally, I could say, like copious amounts of data coming from every single direction. And I swear every single day, like, it's like another avenue of data coming right at us.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, and just to like touch on like system thinking, I think it's like sort of another way to say, you know, tracking the user journey, but then also looking at the whole user journey, like a cohesive system, you know, the journey, the teams that support users along that journey from like the top of the funnel to driving usage, and then layering in the KPIs along that journey as well, you know, and building that out to be able to have that cohesive view. And because I think it's important to have that view to build consensus with everybody to say, okay, this is what our customers are going through. This is how we're supporting them. So really, you know, just to take a step on like looking at things like a system, I think is really valuable. And then as far as like measuring data along with that system perspective of it, you know, developing a data dashboard or a repository where data is going to automatically be fed to track the KPIs along that journey. So you can consistently refer to it easily without having to go to a spreadsheet and reformat it and import data and what have you. You know, being able to to pair those things, the customer journey with the data about how those KPIs are performing. I think that empowers people because you have that central location as a consistent reference, and you're not reinventing the wheel every time. So that's with all the different data points, I think it's important to know what to measure. But then being able to visualize it and access it in a meaningful way, I think is incredibly valuable.
Yeah, I definitely can share in that pain, if you will. And I think that is key, right? Making sure that you have all of your data centralized. So it's like, even if you're, right, because all of us marketers, we're using tons and tons of tools. And if we can't centralize that data, or our systems aren't speaking to one another and we can't see it in one place, it's really hard to understand the story coming from the data. So I'd agree with you that's pretty key when it comes to just keeping everyone on point and understanding it. And like, for there's just so many data points, right? So best way to keep track for sure. So a quick one for you on this one though, right? So if you're bringing in all of your data into a single dashboard and centralizing it, right? What are you, when you're looking at that data, what are you looking for? Like, what is, like, what is jumping out to your eye? When do you go like, aha, right? That's the problem, or, oh, that's the solution.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, I think it's important when you're building that out to pick the right KPIs, because there's so many things to measure, because PMM or product marketing is just across the board in so many different parts of the business. So picking the right KPI. And I think there's that trap to say, oh, look at this number on the product usage. That means it's low. That means the product is, you know, this feature is not valuable or what have you. But, you know, just to look at the quantitative data and see that usage number versus having the qualitative data to inform the why this is happening, I think is super, super important. And I think together those things help you get to that aha moment to say, okay, we need to take action on this or that. Together the two elements, and I think it's a challenge because, you know, doing that takes time, bringing in that research to talk to customers. You know, I think it needs to be a part of your daily routine or your weekly routine to talk to customers, to look at the information and merge the two, because together the qualitative and quantitative is really what you need to do to bring actionable insights together.
Yeah. So in your opinion, then, what would you say, you know, is the biggest data dilemma, if you will, product marketers are facing today?
Yeah, I think it's really that the challenge is picking those right KPIs. Because you could look at something like how much is this PowerPoint being used by sales all day, you know, but is that going to ladder up to the company KPIs that you really want to accomplish, you know, address and drive forward? Like I was saying before, it's all about that focus and retaining that focus and being flexible, of course. I think the challenge is, you know, like there's that book, Measure What Matters, is picking what matters that you need to, need to measure. I think is something that it's, there's so much potential to just go. You know, instead of saying, okay, what's our target? You know, the whole like ready aim, you know, or shoot, ready aim, that kind of thing. Being able to pick your target early and making sure that it's the right one, I think is one of the fundamental challenge that that product marketing faces often.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. As I sit in the product marketing seat, I'm totally with you on that. I'm going to put on one of my favorite hats right now. And I think in 2024, I think we're going to see a lot of conversations around this specific topic. But it's first party intent data in general. At Octopus, right, we're a social media management platform. So we're really looking at first party social intent data a lot. Thoughts, valuable as a product marketer, intent data, are you using it? Where does it come in handy? Talk to me.
Yeah. I think it is very valuable. I'm just thinking back to some activity that we did recently. First things come to mind is title of the user or the person that you're interacting with. I think that's a really valuable data point because, like, immediately you get a sense of what's their role, what are their responsibilities, and what are their pain points. You know, are they key decision makers? Are they end users? Because you're going to be giving different content, different messaging, et cetera, to these folks just based on their title. You know, of course, there's like layers to that. I feel like, you know, things you can infer around account size or the traffic source, where do they come to the site from, or where do they access the post from, et cetera. Yep. But yeah, the title data really, information really, really stands out, because you can use that for segmentation. You know, we've used that to test messaging. You know, we put it into a small market, a message that we're testing, A/B testing, and we'll test it to folks that are at the end user, or the folks that we think are the decision makers, and we'll see the results. So that information just gives you that persona, allows you to map the user to a persona and what you're going to say to them. So super valuable.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think what I'm seeing is, I wouldn't necessarily call it a challenge, but I think what's interesting is, right, because we have so much intent data at our fingertips, especially from social, right? It's so easy to get, and it's just like all out there. I think one of the hardest things is making it actionable. And I think that's something that I really struggle with, is like, okay, we have all of these really interesting data points of where this interesting moment happened or this customer interacted with us, right? But it's like, how do we take that piece of data and how do we deliver it to sales for them to take action? Or how do we train customer success? Or how do we as marketers then use that to take the next step? And I don't know if there's a perfect formula or a playbook yet on that, but that's something I think is something all of us should be having our eyes on and make sure that it's actionable.
Agree entirely. I mean, you know, that I think is super important, is because, you know, there's information and information can just sit in a database and, you know, it doesn't do anything, but making sure that it's actionable and used, I think, is absolutely critical.
Yeah. Yeah. So then taking it a step further, what's the most important thing for you when analyzing data from your customer ecosystem to really impact change and move the needle? And I know, you know, right, making it actionable, of course, but like, what are you looking at?
Yeah, so I think it's, you know, it depends on the scenario. I think the most important thing is really what you just hit on a second ago, you know, is using that data. You know, it's like you've got it and using it on a consistent basis. And I think there's a lot to be said around, okay, looking at, you know, taking the data, turning it into insights, and then engaging stakeholders into that, because you just having the data and then informing your activity on your own. Okay, I'm going to refine the messaging. I'm going to see what's performing and what's not is one thing. But engaging the team to, like, across functionally to say, okay, this is what we're seeing. You know, let's see what adjustments we need to make collectively, I think is a fundamental part of product marketing, because you're in that cross-functional seat and you need to make sure everybody's informed and on the same page. And if you have that data, it's really not adding value to the business and to the end user, the customer, what have you, if it's just with you and you're taking action. So, you know, that could be, it could take the form, communicating that could take the form of, you know, a weekly update, a Slack channel where you're posting just the key bullets, or a monthly standing meeting for like just key stakeholders to come in and say, okay, what did we learn this week? What are we going to do with that? And having that conversation. So, you know, I think that's one of the most important things, you know, when it comes to making sure that the information and the data that you have is making an impact on the business.
Yeah, I don't think I could have said that better myself. I know you have a really unique background, and we're about to get into that background, because I think the experience and the different roles that you've had throughout your career have made you a powerhouse in product marketing. So before jumping there, I know when we caught up a few weeks back, we talked about building credibility as a product marketer. And I think it's so important. What is one thing you would tell marketing leaders who are looking to build that credibility within the organization?
I think the simple answer, right? And this could be like your bread and butter, is reporting results against KPIs continually. To say, here's the goal there for our quarter or for the year or whatever it is. Here's what we're doing. Here's the results we're seeing. That's right. That's the proofs in the pudding in that basis. You know, this is what we're doing. This is what results we're getting. But, you know, I think that but outside of that, just like business goals, I think product marketing, it's a lot about building relationships with stakeholders internally. And the, I think the key part to that, to building those relationships, is understanding the needs of the different stakeholders. The needs of a customer success person are different in a lot of ways from the salesperson, is different from the product person, is different from the tech team, or, you know, operations, customer support, all that kind of stuff. So I think it really pays dividends to understand the needs of those different stakeholders, the problems that they're facing, because then they know, okay, this person understands the problems that I'm facing, and I know that I'm going to get the support that I need for them. So, you know, being they'll know that you can address their needs and that you can reliably do that, I think is a great way to build relationships and subsequently credibility.
Yeah. So now I want to jump back to what I said before about your experience and your different roles, diversity. I say diversity, your background, right? Because I think you said it best, right? Being an effective communicator is key. And so first of all, if you could shine some light, right? Like about your background, like how did you get into product marketing? Maybe we'll take it back a little bit so that we understand, you know, where we are today. But, and then in that, like how and what are some of the best ways to speak the right language, right, to the stakeholders we were talking about, you know, a second ago, to each team member, and how do we become those effective communicators?
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, as far as my background, you know, I first started in sales, moved into product roles and marketing roles, and then ultimately rolled those all up into product marketing. So, you know, but my perspective might be unique in this regard, but yeah, speaking the right the same language as your stakeholders, I think is important. And, you know, I arrived at that conclusion by having those experiences, working in sales, working in product, working in marketing. And I think that it's important for product marketers to at least dip their toe in the water to understand how to speak the language of their stakeholders. I mean, of course, externally, it's important to know the language of your customer so you can connect with them and relate with them. But I think that also applies internally to be able to speak to the product team about their dev teams or understand release cadences, or, you know, speak in sprints rather than days, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. Or talk to sales about and use their different techniques that they're using, or customer success about their goals. There's really being able to speak that language, like I was saying earlier, it's important to build those relationships and have them be able to trust you and come to you when they need something. I think it's incredibly valuable to be able to relate to these folks because they specialize in these areas. And you know, when they understand that you understand where they're coming from, you can be a lot more productive, and you know, relationships become a lot more a lot easier to build and maintain.
Yeah, 100%. So where are we falling short, Patrick? Where are product marketers falling short when it comes to effective communication?
I think there's a lot of opportunity for us to fall short because there's, like I keep saying, we're cross-functional. There's a lot of stakeholders, and it's, you know, depending on the company type and the release cadence and the type of releases that are on the roadmap, it's challenging to know who needs to know what and when, because there might be a feature release that updates the way that our internal systems flag an account to the finance team that only the finance team needs to know. But, you know, there could be and so you don't need to tell the sales team, hey, guess what? We're updating our finance report, you know, but like being able to break that down, I think is a real challenge, because when you're seeing, especially, you know, depending on the team dynamic that you're working with, your product marketing team, being able to break that down and coordinate communications is, I think there's a lot of potential to lose track of the details there. But, you know, like I was saying with the data reporting, like what I've done in the past is set up a Slack channel, and then every Friday morning, building out, here's what's going to be included in this release. Here's our go-to-market plan at a high level. Here's what's going to be in the next one. Because week to week, that might change. You know, what's included in sprint 3 might be changed to be in sprint 2 or pushed out 6 months because it's not a priority. So if you continually, I think I heard somebody say yesterday in a talk I was listening to, you know, reporting these updates early and often, I think is really, really valuable because, you know, there's so much potential for people to lose track of that because they're so focused on their own role. So yeah, that's sort of, you know, who needs to know what when, and over-communicating, I think, is a way to address that.
Absolutely. Now, in that Slack channel, is it just stakeholders? Is it open to the entire organization for anyone who wants to learn? Like, what does that channel look like?
Yeah, I'll usually, like, in the past, you know, a couple of different ways that I've done this is, like, I'll create a distribution list, PMM stakeholders, on, like, in Outlook, so I can just send an email and say, here's the update for the week. And I think it's important to do it consistently so that they know, they can say, oh, you know, I can refer to it each week as a report. But it also works in the Slack channel. And yeah, I think generally leaving it open for anybody to join in, it can be okay, but it could become counterproductive if everybody starts talking about, well, you know, okay, this is a great feature, I'm excited about this, this one account that I have in this one region is something that I want to talk about and using that channel for that. So I think you have to use a little bit of discretion on what the conversation looks like in that channel. I mean, another solution for that could be setting up a Confluence page and then updating that and then just linking out to the Confluence page in a communication to help reduce that and keep the conversation focused. But yeah, I think it depends, but probably keeping it not to everybody necessarily, but it is probably a good practice.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we're always on the lookout for, you know, what I agree with you, by the way, like over communication is totally my style. And I think it's better to over communicate than under communicate, but it also, I think sometimes, like you said, right, you're constantly communicating, it can be counterproductive. Maybe someone's going to get stuck on a little detail that maybe that's not really relevant for them, or it's going to change in a week. So I definitely, it's interesting about this. I like the idea about the Slack channel. So I'm like, in my head, I'm like now brewing that to see how we can bring that over to what we do. So with that being said, I want to thank you for joining us, first of all, and sharing all of your knowledge. I love to conclude the show with a question that was originally asked by LinkedIn's CEO, I think like back in 2012 when he would finish leading meetings or like town hall meetings. But I think it's so interesting. So I'm going to throw it at you. What is something that you can share about yourself that we cannot learn about you from your LinkedIn profile?
You know, yeah, I mean, that's a great question. A couple of things two things come to mind specifically. One is in this role, one of the things that I find super satisfying is bringing a product to life through creating targeted positioning and messaging. It's just a feature or just a product, but when you can synthesize all the information that you've gotten around the competitive landscape and the persona and the product and the feature itself and how it works and boil it down to 20 words, right? A tagline and a brief story. It's just so satisfying that I really enjoyed that. You know, it's one of the elements that I think can really be overlooked because everybody's like, okay, let's just keep going and pushing. But I think it's valuable to take time on it, and I really love it. And the other thing is around team camaraderie. I think it's, you know, somebody once told me, you know, you spend a lot of time with the people you work with. You spend every day, sometimes more than your family in a lot of instances, you know. So you might as well focus on building those relationships, having a good time. And I think this can manifest as like team names, mascots, building like those sort of inside jokes and because it makes it more enjoyable and subsequently more productive too, because you want to go back and you want to interact with these people. And I think that's something that can easily be overlooked is building an environment where people connect and want to work together and be productive like that.
I love it. Where do I join your team? With that being said, Patrick, if anybody listening wants to learn more about you, connect with you on product marketing, about your organization, what's the best way to be in touch?
Yeah, I think, you know, LinkedIn is probably the best channel for me. It's, it's Patrick Barbera at the end of the URL there. And I'm very interested in just having brief meetings with folks to just talk about what their day-to-day looks like. What does their challenge look like? Because I think I think it is, like you mentioned, a challenging role. And nobody, I think, has perfected it yet. So I'm always interested in just talking to people, learning and developing together. So yeah, that'd be great. If anybody's listening, I'm more than happy to connect.
Patrick, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time. And I've absolutely loved getting radically transparent with you. And I hope to have you back in an episode real soon.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you so much. It's been great.
Thanks for tuning in to the Radically Transparent podcast brought to you by Octopost, the only social media management and employee advocacy platform architected for B2B. I'm Jennifer Gutman, your host and director of product and customer marketing at Octopost. If you love today's show and want us to create even more radically transparent content, we'd love for you to follow, rate, and give a raving review wherever you get your podcasts. If you're listening on the Apple Podcast app, simply scroll to ratings and reviews and tap those 5 stars. For more discussion on B2B marketing, be sure to follow Octopost on LinkedIn, X, and YouTube. And of course, to gain access to all our free social media marketing and employee advocacy resources, head on over to www.octopost.com. That's www.octopost.com. Until next time.